Welcome to Tarati Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esti Kimchi and today we'll be studying Sefer Yehoshua Perek Yud. Just a quick recap of what we learned yesterday in Perek Tes. We heard about the Givonim who had come to Yehoshua and the leaders of the nation, and they had tricked them into making a peace treaty with them, dressing up as if they had come from very, very far away. And once they had signed the peace treaty, Yehoshua and Bnei Israel find out 3 days later that they had been duped, they had been tricked, but they choose to uphold the peace treaty, and Yehoshua demotes these people to water drawers and woodchoppers. Perek Yud, and this is a very exciting perek. I love this perek as a tour guide. It's full of places and locations that we are so familiar with. In this perek, Adoni Tzedek, who's the king of Yerushalayim, is going to call together four other kings, four other cities, and he's going to tell them, listen, we can't let the Givonim get away with this. They've made a peace treaty with Am Yisrael, and we have to go out and fight a battle against them. And the Givonim are going to become very nervous. They're not going to be able to fight against these five kings. And they call out to Yehoshua, and they say, listen, we're allies now. You promised to help us. You have to come into battle and help us defeat these five kings. And Yehoshua takes an army into battle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises them, Yehoshua, these are going to be amazing miracles that are going to happen to you. And in the course of this battle, you're going to capture not just the five kings, but a lot of territory in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. And Yeshua starts the battle. They're going to kill the five kings. Amazing miracles are going to take place. The famous moment of Shemesh beGivandom, V'yarech be'emek Ayalon, the sun and the moon standing still in their places in the sky, takes place in this perek. And we're going to hear at the end of the perek how a large tract of land all the way, the whole southern part of Eretz Yisrael, is going to have been captured. Pasuk Aleph. Vayihi kishma Adoni Tzedek melech Yerushalayim. It was when Adoni Tzedek, the king of Yerushalayim, heard. We'll just pause for one moment and point out that this name Tzedek linked to Yerushalayim, we know from the time of Avram Avinu, we there met Malki Tzedek melech Shalem. We know Shalem is Yerushalayim, but the name Tzedek, his righteousness, has always been linked to Yerushalayim. And Malki Adoni Tzedek, here is about what Yehoshua has done here, how he's captured Ai and destroyed it, Yericho and destroyed it, Malkan destroyed it. But worst of all, he hears, Ki shlimu yoshve givones Yisrael v'yubakirbam, how the Givonim, one of their own, have gone ahead and made this peace treaty with Am Yisrael. And he's very nervous. They're very nervous. Ki ir gedola givon. Givon was a very, very large city. And these five kings decide they have to group together and start fighting against the Givonim. So Gimel Adoni Tzedek calls for Hoham Melech Chevron, Piram Melech Yarmut, Yafi Melech Lachish, and Devir Melech Eglon to these four other kings. And the names of these cities are so familiar to us. Chevron, Yarmut, we've heard these names. And he calls them together and he says, listen, we have to go and do battle against the Givonim. I'll just pause for 1 second and talk about the names of these cities. The cities themselves, Yarmut. So Yarmut is right outside Ramat Beit Shemesh. It's actually where Ramat Beit Shemesh Dalet is. And as they were building up Ramat Beit Shemesh Dalet, they had an amazing halachic problem that actually, you know, they were trying to resolve this all the way up to Purim, because Yarmut is a huge Canaanite city dating from this period. And as they were building up the streets, getting closer and closer at the streets of Ramat Beit Shemesh Dalet, they were getting closer and closer to ancient Yarmut, they started realizing that this large wall of Yarmut, perhaps it was a little bit too close to Ramat Beit Shemesh Dalet, and possibly, being that Yarmut was a walled city from the time of Yehoshua, maybe the people of Ramat Beit Shemesh Dalet, and possibly even everybody in Ramat Beit Shemesh, had an obligation to keep Purim on Shushan Purim. It was an amazing, amazing controversy or halachic debate. But these five kings are going to gather together, and the Givonim hear about them, and they're very, very nervous. And in Pasuk Vav, we hear, Vayishlechu Anche Givon al Yehoshua, the people of Givon, you know, send to Yehoshua to Gilgal, and they say to him, we need your help. Ki nikabsu eleinu kol malcheha emor yoshvei hahar. All these Amorite kings who live in the mountains are gathering against us. So Yehoshua gathers his army together and starts heading in that direction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, don't be afraid, Yehoshua, ki biyadcha nesatim. I've given them over into your hands. Pasuk Ches, lo ya'amod ish mehem b'fanecha. No man shall stand up against you. You are going to be amazingly successful. So overnight, Yehoshua takes his army and comes towards the Amorim, and they meet them on Ma'ale Beit Charon. They meet them on this path to Beit Charon. Actually, you can see this, where this path is today, at the back of the Park Canada, just off Route 1, close to Muddy Inn. If you come all the way to the back of Park Canada, there's an overlook and you can see this Ma'ale Beit Charon. And this is where the battle, this is where Am Yisrael starts chasing after the Emori kings, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does an amazing Neis Pasuk Yud Aleph. We're told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hishlich aleihem avanim gedolos min hashamayim ad azeka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts raining down on them these enormous rocks all the way until azeka. Vayamusu rabim asher mesu ba'avnei habarad me'asher hargu b'nei Yisrael b'charev. And more of them die from these enormous rocks, this barad, than are killed by b'nei Yisrael on that day. So there's actually an interesting halacha in Shulchan Aruch and Arachayim that tells us that a person is obligated to make a bracha she'asa nisim la'avosenu b'makom hazeh, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the open miracles that were performed at that place. And the Shulchan Aruch lists a few different places if you should come across them. One of them is if we would know exactly where B'nai Yisrael crossed the Yam, so for exactly where they crossed the Yarden, we would be obligated to make that bracha. And one of the things, if we should see Avnei Algavish Shal Beis Charon, if we should see these rocks that were rained down that day, we would be obligated to make the bracha of She'asa Nisim La'avosenu B'makom Hazeh. In Beit Charon, there is a very small village called Chastei Enosh, and they have a beautiful, beautiful shul there. Right outside the shul, there is a pile of these Avnei Algavish, or so they claim, these rocks, and right next to it is written up this piece of Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so the battle is in full swing now, but nightfall is coming, and Pasuk Yud Beis tells us, Oz Yedaber Yehoshua LaHashem. Yehoshua then speaks to Hashem, and he says, in front of everybody, Shemesh beGivon Dom v'yareach beEimek Ayalon. Sun, stop in Givon. Be silent. Dom actually means be silent in Givon. V'yareach beEimek Ayalon. And moon, hang out. Stay in your place where you are right now over Eimek Ayalon. The Medrash Tanchuma says that a beautiful conversation took place between Yehoshua and the sun. And the sun says to Yehoshua, listen, I can't stop singing. My job in this world is to move. My job in this world, the Shira that I sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is by moving and doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. And if I don't do my job, my Shira is not going to be sung. So Yehoshua says, if that's what you're concerned about, that there's going to be a Shira that's missing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you don't continue moving, I will sing your Shira for you. And that's why the Pasuk begins with the word Oz. Like Oz Yashir, Oz is like a Shira. The Pesukim continue and tell us that the sun stands still, the moon stands still, and nothing like this had ever happened before, and nothing like this ever happens again. There was another reason why this was such an important moment, that the sun should stand still and the moon should stay in its place. In Eretz Kanaan, they were full of different Avodah Zarahs, and we're really more familiar with the service of Baal and the service of the Asherah, but they also had a very strong worship for the sun. Think, you know, the names Beit Shemesh or Ein Shemesh, sun cities. These were cities from the time of the Canaanites, and it was in those cities that we found lots of cultic sites where we know that they served the sun. There's even, you know, an idea that Yericho, from the word Yareach, that in Yericho it was a place where they had moon cults, people serving the moon. And the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu and Sefer Devarim told the B'nai Israel, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, be very careful that you don't get caught up in us and that you don't start serving the sun and the moon. The Pasuk tells us, Pentisa einecha, lest you lift up your eyes, Hashamayimah, v'ra'isa sashemesh, and you see the sun, v'esa yareach, and the moon, v'esa kochavim, and the stars, and all the hosts of the heaven, and v'nishtachavisa lehem v'avadatam, you start thinking that you should bow down to them and serve them. So this moment where the sun and moon stood still, and it was very clear that they themselves had no power, it was a moment also for B'nai Israel to become once again aware that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who runs the world, but also the people in Canaan were left with a very strong message of the sun worship and the moon worship is just not worth it. There's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's really here in control. After that, the Pasukim tell us, Pasuk Tesva, Vayashav Yehoshua v'chol Yisrael imo al hamachaneh ha-Gilgal. Yehoshua and all the people that are with him, after they fought this amazing battle, they start going back to Gilgal. But the very next Pasuk tells us, Vayanusu chameshas hamalachim ha-Ela. They start chasing after these five kings, Vayachavu b'mara b'makeda, and they find them hiding out in a cave in Makeda. So Malbim says, what happened? Did Yehoshua go back to Gilgal, or was he chasing after these five kings? And he explains that Yehoshua had started returning to go back to his camp in Gilgal to the rest of Am Yisrael, but then he hears that they found the five kings themselves and they're hiding out. He makes an about turn and starts chasing after them. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Nimsu Chameshas Hamelachim Nichbu B'Ma'arab B'Makeda. They find the five kings hiding in the cave in Makeda, and Yehoshua says, Golu Avanim Gedolos Al Pi Hama'ara. Roll these massive rocks over the mouth of the cave, V'Hafkidu Aleh Hanashim L'Shamram, and leave men there to guard it. But the rest of you, you should take this opportunity now and start running after all of those who are remaining, all of the enemies. Start fighting against them. Don't let them return to the cities, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them over into your hands. And their Klal Yisrael experienced an unbelievable, unbelievable victory on that day. And Pasuk Kaf Aleph tells us, Locharat Livnei Yisrael Ish Es Lashono. There wasn't anybody who even was willing to wet his tongue, literally open his mouth against Am Yisrael that day. And Rashi points out that, you know, when a nation is defeated or where someone is defeated, usually they'll start yelling and screaming and insulting the other people. And here the Canaanites couldn't even open their mouths. They were so in awe and so afraid of the Bnei Yisrael. Yehoshua is going to come back, and now he's going to take care of these five kings. Pasuk Kaf Beis tells us, "V'hutziu elai es chameshas hamelachim ha'ela min ha'ma'ara." Yehoshua says, "Bring these five kings out of the cave now to me," and they bring them all out. And then Yehoshua tells them to do something that sounds a little bit strange. Pasuk Kaf Dalid, "Simu es raglechem al tzavarei hamelachim ha'ela." Place your foot on the necks of these kings. You can picture they've laid these kings down on the floor and they're told, put your foot on the neck of these kings. Now, Chazal tell us this was done to give courage to Bnei Israel. See, look what's happened to these five enormously strong kings, these enemies. But we were also being taught something else, very symbolic. Yehoshua was saying, look, these Canaanites are people who live from the neck down. These are people who have no connection to their heads. They have no connection to anything that's spiritual. They live terribly immoral, physical lives. And we've come into this land and we must strive to live exactly opposite to them. We're going to be living very physical lives, but we have to remain connected to our minds and to our neshamas. Then Yehoshua instructs that they should kill them and hang their bodies on the tree for everybody to see, but that they should take them down that evening and bury them. After that, Yehoshua and Pasuk Kafches goes ahead and destroys the entire city of Makeda, which was right there. And now we continue to hear about Yehoshua going south and destroying city after city in Eretz Yisrael. He goes from Makeda to Livna and totally destroys it. He goes from Livna to the city of Lachish. Lachish is going to be, you know, more famous. We hear about it in Bais Rishon period. It's a city that Sancheiru is going to take over. The famous Lachish reliefs that are on display in the British Museum tell the story of the defeat that happens to the Bnei Israel at Lachish. But right now, Lachish is a very strong Canaanite city. You know, it's location-wise, it's in quite close proximity to where Bet Gavrin is today. And Yehoshua camps there and he fights a battle against Lachish. But the Pasuk tells us in Lamed Gimel that Oz ala Horam Melech Gezer, the king Horam, who's the king of Gezer, decides he wants to come and help Lachish. But Yehoshua also is going to defeat him and kill him as well. So what is Gezer and why is Gezer getting pulled in and why is that even relevant to us? Gezer was another very important ancient Canaanite city. It sits on an important main road. Later on, Shlomo HaMelech, after he builds the Beis HaMikdash, he's going to build up three cities as important lookout cities, and one of them is going to be Gezer. And Gezer, not only was it an important city, but it, you know, it looked out over the entire region. The other cities probably would come to Gezer and group there. And we actually found in Gezer this cultic worship site. We found these enormous standing stones, and next to it, this sort of mizbech, this altar. And we don't know for sure, but we think that this is where all the Canaanite kings from that region, they would have come to the area of Gezer. They would have come to Gezer and worshipped together. So Gezer is going to get pulled into this battle. The king of Gezer is going to get pulled in an attempt to sort of help Lachish, but he is also destroyed by Yehoshua on that day. Yehoshua then goes on and captures Eglon and completely destroys that also. And from Eglon, he comes to Chevron. And the pasuk tells us, Vayal Yehoshua v'chol Yisrael imo me Eglon Chevrona. They come from Eglon to Chevron, vayelachamu alecha, and they fight against it. Now we're going to be told later on that it's Osniel ben Kenaz and Kalev who capture Chevron. So how do we understand that Yehoshua at this point captures it? So we could understand that just like other cities, Chevron was the name of part of the city, and there were lots of smaller cities around it. And perhaps Yehoshua conquered, you know, just part of Chevron, and Osniel ben Kenaz and Kalev are going to capture the rest of it. Radak says that in the next perek, on the next perek, Radak says that yes, Kalev destroyed Chevron, but it was Yehoshua who initiated it. But we are going to give Kalev credit for it. And Radak says, Him hishtadlu yoter b'melchamahihi, because they put in tremendous extra effort in that battle. Probably, you know, they had very much vested interest, because we know that Kalev is going to live in the areas around Chevron. It's part of the Nachala, the inheritance of the tribe of Yehuda. Everything is now destroyed. Then they move on to take a city called Malka and then a city called Devir. And Pasuk Mem tells us that Vayakeh Yehoshua es kol ha'aretz. Yehoshua smote the entire land. And Malbim points out this does not mean the entire land. This just means the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, the southern part of the country. And then it lists the different regions. Hahar, the mountain regions, that's the areas around Chevron, the cities around Chevron were captured. Vahanegev, and the southern areas, this is like the more desert-like areas, Arad and cities like that. Vahashfela, the lowlands, and this would be the areas from Beit Shemesh all the way out to the Sharon Valley, including cities like, you know, to name cities that we're familiar with today, Yafo, Yavne, all the way down to Aza. Vahashedos, and this Rashi says means the wet regions with falls. And all of this was captured by Yehoshua and Am Yisrael in these battles over these few days. We talk about Eretz Yisrael being so small, yet containing such a variety of different places. And we actually see, the Malbim points out in this pasuk, that in just one small region, just the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, we see that there are mountains, there are valleys, there are lowlands, there are wet areas, and there are dry areas. Eretz Yisrael really contains everything. The perek ends in pasuk mem beis, we're told, Veskol hamalachim ha'ela vesartam lachad Yehoshua. Yehoshua captured all these kings and all their lands, pa'am echos, in one fell swoop. The Da'as Sofrim tells us it was incredible nisim how this happened. It was fast and smooth, and Klal Yisrael saw once again how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really with them there, fighting their battles. And Pasuk Mem Gimel, Vayashav Yehoshua v'chal Yisrael imo el hamachaneh ha'gilgala. Yehoshua and all of Am Yisrael who are with him in those battles are now able to return back to the camp where the rest of the Bnei Yisrael were in Gilgal. Thank you for learning this parak together with me. Sefer Yehoshua is dedicated by Nina and Chaim Schenker, in memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenker, Rachel Freeman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Alena Shalom. Neshot Chayil, who live with utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they face living in the United States, Israel, and Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael. I wish everyone a wonderful rest of your day.